A woman will not be given her Lord his rights. What is the rights of your Lord? The rights of your Lord is that you worship him. And you can break it down to any type of worship you want. If she doesn't give her husband his rights, then she has not given his Lord, her Lord his rights. Then the Prophet said, وَلَوْ سَأَلَهَا نَفْسَهَا وَهِيَ عَلَىٰ قَطَبٍ لَمْ تَعْمْنَعْهُ. He said, even if he asked her, if he were to ask her, meaning to come and please him. And I like to use the translation. This is my own translation, brothers and sisters. I don't think you're going to find this in any books on this hadith being translated. Even if she was on the birthing chair. Even if she was on the birthing chair. That's the way I like to translate this. Because the sisters understand what a birthing chair is. Even if she was on the birthing chair and he called her to satisfy himself, she cannot, should not, will not prevent herself from him. There's another narration like this that says, even if he had wounds and sores with pus coming out of his wounds and she licked them, she would not be giving him his rights. Did you hear what I said? Even if he had wounds and sores and pus coming out of those wounds and she licked them, she still wouldn't be giving him all his rights. That is the position of a Muslim woman to the Muslim man, and that is the foundational brick in the Islamic household. And the scholars of Islam, they say that type of woman is like Ghurab al-A'sam. It's like a white-footed crow. A white-footed crow. In other words, that type of woman is rare. So the very first stage in forming an Islamic household, and we're not going to leave the brothers out, sisters. We're not going to leave the brothers out. Inshallah. The very first stage in forming an Islamic household is a believing woman. How do you know that she believes? And what's the first aspect of her belief? The first aspect of her belief is knowing her Lord and knowing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the proof for that? The proof is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a hadith narrated by Muawiyah ibn Hakim al-Sulami radiallahu anhu, collected by Imam Muslim, where he smacked his slave girl and he felt ashamed because she had misappropriated or lost one of his sheep. So he went to the Messenger of Allah and complained about his own shortcomings and defects of slapping her, because we know that it is not permissible to strike in the face. It is impermissible, prohibited, proscribed, mahzur, haram, mamnur, la yajuz, to smack even an animal in the face, let alone your children or your wife or your husband. He smacked her in the face and he felt ashamed, because this is an act that deserves tawbah. It necessitates tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Eti biha, bring her to me." When Muawiyah ibn Hakim al-Sulami radiallahu anhu brought the slave girl to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask her, "Did it hurt when you got smacked? How did it feel? Is your face red? Let me see it. Do you want to smack him back?" But she pointed with her finger up to the sky and she said, "Fis-sama, Allah is above the heavens." He asked her the second question, "Man ana, who am I?" She said, "Anta Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." She said, "You are the Messenger of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then turned to Muawiyah and said, أعتقها فإنها مؤمنة. So he went to the Messenger of Allah and complained about his own shortcomings and defects of slapping her, because we know that it is not permissible to strike in the face. It is impermissible, prohibited, proscribed, mahzur, haram, mamnur, la yajuz, to smack even an animal in the face, let alone your children or your wife or your husband. He smacked her in the face and he felt ashamed, because this is an act that deserves tawbah. It necessitates tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Eati biha, bring her to me." When Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami radiallahu anhu brought the slave girl to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask her, "Did it hurt when you got smacked? How did it feel? Is your face red? Let me see it. Do you want to smack him back?" But she pointed with her finger up to the sky and she said, "Fis-sama, Allah is above the heavens." He asked her the second question, "Man ana, who am I?" She said, "Anta Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." She said, "You are the Messenger of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then turned to Muawiyah and said, "A'tiqaha fa'innaha mu'minatun." So he went to the Messenger of Allah and complained about his own shortcomings and defects of slapping her, because we know that it is not permissible to strike in the face. It is impermissible, prohibited, proscribed, mahzur, haram, mamnur, la yajuz, to smack even an animal in the face, let alone your children or your wife or your husband. He smacked her in the face and he felt ashamed, because this is an act that deserves tawbah. It necessitates tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Eati biha, bring her to me." When Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami radiallahu anhu brought the slave girl to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask her, "Did it hurt when you got smacked? How did it feel? Is your face red? Let me see it. Do you want to smack him back?" But she pointed with her finger up to the sky and she said, "Fis-sama, Allah is above the heavens." He asked her the second question, "Man ana, who am I?" She said, "Anta Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." She said, "You are the Messenger of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then turned to Muawiyah and said, "A'tiqaha fa'innaha mu'minatun." So he went to the Messenger of Allah and complained about his own shortcomings and defects of slapping her, because we know that it is not permissible to strike in the face. It is impermissible, prohibited, proscribed, mahzur, haram, mamnur, la yajuz, to smack even an animal in the face, let alone your children or your wife or your husband. He smacked her in the face and he felt ashamed, because this is an act that deserves tawbah. It necessitates tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Eati biha, bring her to me." When Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami radiallahu anhu brought the slave girl to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask her, "Did it hurt when you got smacked? How did it feel? Is your face red? Let me see it. Do you want to smack him back?" But she pointed with her finger up to the sky and she said, "Fis-sama, Allah is above the heavens." He asked her the second question, "Man ana, who am I?" She said, "Anta Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." She said, "You are the Messenger of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then turned to Muawiyah and said, "A'tiqaha fa'innaha mu'minatun." So he went to the Messenger of Allah and complained about his own shortcomings and defects of slapping her, because we know that it is not permissible to strike in the face. It is impermissible, prohibited, proscribed, mahzur, haram, mamnur, la yajuz, to smack even an animal in the face, let alone your children or your wife or your husband. He smacked her in the face and he felt ashamed, because this is an act that deserves tawbah. It necessitates tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Easy behalf, bring her to me." When Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami radiallahu anhu brought the slave girl to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask her, "Did it hurt when you got smacked? How did it feel? Is your face red? Let me see it. Do you want to smack him back?" But she pointed with her finger up to the sky and she said, "Fis-sama, Allah is above the heavens." He asked her the second question, "Man ana, who am I?" She said, "Anta Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." She said, "You are the messenger of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then turned to Muawiyah and said, "A'tiqaha فَإِنَّهَا مُؤْمِنَةٌ." Well, he went to the Messenger of Allah and complained about his own shortcomings and defects of slapping her, because we know that it is not permissible to strike in the face. It is impermissible, prohibited, proscribed, mahzur, haram, mamnur, la yajuz, to smack even an animal in the face, let alone your children or your wife or your husband. He smacked her in the face and he felt ashamed, because this is an act that deserves tawbah. It necessitates tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Easy behalf, bring her to me." When Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami radiallahu anhu brought the slave girl to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask her, "Did it hurt when you got smacked? How did it feel? Is your face red? Let me see it. Do you want to smack him back?" But she pointed with her finger up to the sky and she said, "Fis-sama, Allah is above the heavens." He asked her the second question, "Man ana, who am I?" She said, "Anta Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." She said, "You are the messenger of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then turned to Muawiyah and said, "A'tiqaha fa'innaha mu'minatun." Well, he went to the Messenger of Allah and complained about his own shortcomings and defects of slapping her, because we know that it is not permissible to strike in the face. It is impermissible, prohibited, proscribed, mahzur, haram, mamnur, la yajuz, to smack even an animal in the face, let alone your children or your wife or your husband. He smacked her in the face and he felt ashamed, because this is an act that deserves tawbah. It necessitates tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Easy behalf, bring her to me." When Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami radiallahu anhu brought the slave girl to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask her, "Did it hurt when you got smacked? How did it feel? Is your face red? Let me see it. Do you want to smack him back?" But she pointed with her finger up to the sky and she said, "Fis-sama, Allah is above the heavens." He asked her the second question, "Man ana, who am I?" She said, "Anta Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." She said, "You are the messenger of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then turned to Muawiyah and said, "A'tiqaha fa'innaha mu'minatun." Well, he went to the Messenger of Allah and complained about his own shortcomings and defects of slapping her, because we know that it is not permissible to strike in the face. It is impermissible, prohibited, proscribed, mahzur, haram, mamnur, la yajuz, to smack even an animal in the face, let alone your children or your wife or your husband. He smacked her in the face. And he felt ashamed. Because this is an act that deserves tawbah. It necessitates tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Easy behalf, bring her to me." When Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami radiallahu anhu brought the slave girl to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask her, "Did it hurt when you got smacked? How did it feel? Is your face red? Let me see it. Do you want to smack him back?" But she pointed with her finger up to the sky and she said, "Fis sama, Allah is above the heavens." He asked her the second question, "Man ana, who am I?" She said, "Anta Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." She said, "You are the messenger of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then turned to Muawiyah and said, "A'tiqaha fa'innaha mu'minatun." So he went to the messenger of Allah and complained about his own shortcomings and defects of slapping her, because we know that it is not permissible to strike in the face. It is impermissible, prohibited, proscribed, mahzur, haram, mamnur, la yajuz, to smack even an animal in the face, let alone your children or your wife or your husband. He smacked her in the face and he felt ashamed. Because this is an act that deserves tawbah. It necessitates tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Easy behalf, bring her to me." When Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami radiallahu anhu brought the slave girl to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask her, "Did it hurt when you got smacked? How did it feel? Is your face red? Let me see it. Do you want to smack him back?" But she pointed with her finger up to the sky and she said, "Fis sama, Allah is above the heavens." He asked her the second question, "Man ana, who am I?" She said, "Anta Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." She said, "You are the messenger of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then turned to Muawiyah and said, "A'tiqaha fa'innaha mu'minatun." So he went to the Messenger of Allah and complained about his own shortcomings and defects of slapping her, because we know that it is not permissible to strike in the face. It is impermissible, prohibited, proscribed, mahzur, haram, mamnur, la yajuz, to smack even an animal in the face, let alone your children or your wife or your husband. He smacked her in the face and he felt ashamed, because this is an act. Then the Prophet went on, وَإِنْ غِبْتَ عَنْهَا, and when you're away from her, she doesn't protect herself or your wealth. Let me start with the highest form of not protecting herself. And I doubt very much if any sister in here is doing this. I doubt it very much. The highest is letting someone else lie between her legs. وَلِعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, while you're absent. وَلِعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَالسَّلَامَةَ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and preserve us in this life and the next from any type of women like this or men like this. The least is what we mentioned before, not taking care of your property, etc., and your wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr, the Messenger of Allah said, إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ وَلَيْسَ مِن مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا شَيْءٌ أَفْضَلْ مِنَ الْمَرْأَةِ الصَّالِحَةِ. This hadith is collected by Ibn Majah, that the dunya is nothing but commodities, and there is no commodity in the dunya, nothing that is more excellent and more superior than a righteous woman. Now, sisters, I'm going to give you a hadith, inshallah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you of these women. This is a small description of the women of Jannah. Because if you have a woman who's destined to go to Jannah, you have a woman who's going to formulate and develop an Islamic household, no doubt. Because as Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, says, you will not be able to taste the sweetness of Jannah until you taste the sweetness of the Jannah here. You can't have the sweetness of the Jannah in that life until you taste the sweetness of the Jannah here. Now, listen to the women of Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala ukhbirukum bi nisa'ikum min ahli al-Jannah? Shall I not inform you of the women of the people of Jannah?" Listen to the women of Jannah. Al-Wad, Al-Wadud, Al-Walud, Al-A'ud, Allati idha zulimat qalat la adhuqu ghamdan hatta tarda. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first category of this woman is Al-Wadud, the woman who is extremely loving and brings love constantly and benefit to her husband. The woman who's extremely loving, compassionate, warm, and she brings benefit to her husband. Oh, and incidentally, the women of Jannah is not one of these things. It's not one of these things. It's all of these things. And we're not saying that if she's deficient of one of them, she's not going to go to Jannah. But in this specific hadith, it's all of them. I repeat, if she's lacking one of them, it doesn't mean she still can't go to Jannah. But this hadith is indicating the women of Jannah. The women of Jannah. Al-Walud. Al-Walud means Al-Kathiratul Wilada. Means she has a lot of children. I want to stop right here. And I want to admonish and rebuke and upbraid and chide and revile and correct those sisters, those Muslim women who have bad character, who whisper, working for a shaitan, working for Iblis, who whisper to the women of righteousness whom Allah has tested them with fullness of wilada, of having a lot of children, trying to incite and encourage them not to have a lot of children. Child, I don't know why you having all them babies for him. I wouldn't be having all them babies. You need to get your tubes tied, girl. I don't know why. 8 children. You ain't gonna never be nothing. You can't go to school. You can't go outside. That woman who says that is a wicked woman. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourage the men and the women to have as many children as they can, so that he said, I can be boastful and proud on the day of resurrection to have the most of my, the most followers. Don't you want the Prophet to be proud? The women of Jannah are al-walud, the women who have a lot of children and don't have any fear of taking care of them. For as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet said, do you not see how the birds leave their nest in the beginning of the day and they return with their bellies full? They leave with their bellies empty at the beginning of the day and they return with their bellies full. This is from Ar-Rahman, the Beneficent One. If he can do it for the roaches, if he can do it for the rats, if he can do it for the birds, he can do it for you. Don't worry about your 15 children. Just make sure that you teach them about their Lord and about their Prophet, and you give them good names. That's all you need to be worried about. And make sure that their character and their conduct is in accordance with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah. If you do that, you are way better than the sister who has one, tied her tubes, for whatever reason, got them snipped, or whatever, for whatever reason, or how she did it, and she's encouraging you to get rid of yours. This woman is an ignorant, wicked woman, and she should be admonished. The Prophet said, Al-A'ud. And here's where we really, not we, me, I really get in trouble. Somebody's going to ask, is that hadith authentic? Somebody's going to say, it really doesn't mean that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Women of Jannah, al-aud, the one who constantly returns to her husband with benefit. Allati idha zulimat, that woman that returns constantly with benefit, even when she is wronged by her husband, she says, La azuku ghamdan hatta tarda, I will not sleep until you're pleased. I will not sleep until you're pleased." Even when he wrongs her, she returns to him. And the other narration, it says, she says, Yadi hadhihi fi yadika, my hand, this hand of mine, is going to stay in your hand, and I won't sleep until you're pleased. This is the women of Jannah, brothers, sisters. This is a description of the women of Jannah. I'm not talking about the brother who has a 7th degree black belt in Taekwondo and he breaks his wife's vertebrae. I'm not talking about that brother, that she returns to him. That's crazy. We're talking about the brother who may slip sometime with his tongue, may say something, he wrongs her. He may not give her her night when he has more than one. For whatever reason, may Allah forgive the brothers. Ameen. And put them straight on the Salat al-Mustaqim, all of us. But when he wrongs her, she says, I will not sleep until you are pleased. This is very, very rare. Very, very rare. And any woman who does this, and any man who has a woman like this, he should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's on his way in establishing and formulating an Islamic household. Why does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourage the women and the men and the Muslims in general to do this? Because when someone wrongs you, it is a part of the sunnah, when there's enmity between you, to try to offer yourself to the person that has wronged you to make amends. That's why he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you are those who give the salams first. Listen to what Allah says in the Quran. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَكَ عَدَاوَةً كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Repel the evil with that which is better, for surely he between whom you and him there was enmity, you will become as though you were a close friend. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. But none is granted it except those who are patient, and none is granted it except the owner of the great portion in the next life. So when someone wrongs you, whether it is your husband, whether it is your wife, whether it is your brother in Islam, your sister in Islam, it's better to repel the evil with good, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For those of us who say we're of the dawah of Quran and Sunnah on the understanding of the Sahaba, for those of us who say we're on the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah, for those of us who say we're trying to be good Sunni Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Sil man qata'aka. Sil man qata'aka. Rejoin ties with the one who broke it with you. Reconnect the ties with the one who broke it with you. Wa ahsan ila man sa'a ilayka. And treat benevolently, treat kindly, beneficently, the one who wronged you. Go to them, even though they wronged you, and treat them kindly. وَقُلِ الْحَقَّ وَلَوْ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. And speak the truth, even if it's against yourself. So when that brother, your husband, who's still your brother in Islam, wrongs you, if you can control that rage inside of you, repel the evil with that which is good, you are on your way, sister, to formulating an Islamic household. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا وَحَفِظَتْ فَرْجَهَا وَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا دَخَلَتْ الْجَنَّةِ. Any woman who prays her 5 prayers and fasts her month and keeps her private parts protected and obeys her husband, she will enter into Jannah. And in another narration he says, it will be said to her, أُدْخُلِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أَيِّ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ شِئْتِ. Enter, O woman of Islam, into any door of Jannah that you choose. In my reading of hadith over the past 16 or 17 years or more, I have yet found a hadith that tells the men of Islam they can choose any door of Jannah. Specifically, I'm talking about. Specifically, I have yet to find any hadith that tells the men, if they do a certain act, they can enter into any door of Jannah they choose. The only hadiths that I find like this are the hadith talking to women. Praying your five prayers, fasting the month of Ramadan correctly, keeping your private parts pure, obeying your husband, you can go into any door of Jannah that you want, sister. Simple. So the first step, brothers in Islam, is selecting a righteous wife. And now I like to talk to the walis, to the guardians. Listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إذا أتاكم من ترضون خلقه ودينه فزوجوه إلا تفعلوا تكن فتنة وفساد وفساد في الأرض وعريض وعريض الفساد أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if anyone comes to you and you are pleased with his deen and his character. Anyone that comes to you and you are pleased with his character and his deen, then you are commanded, the Prophet said, and this is a highly recommended commandment, to marry that girl to him. إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيضٌ. If you don't do this, you will call, you guardians, and you mothers and fathers, who don't want to marry the brother to your daughter because she's 16 and he's 32. Or when the brother has good character and he comes to you, and he has good deen, and he's Caucasian, and you into this Afrocentric crap, and you don't want to marry him to her, you, the Prophet of Allah said, you will cause fitna in the earth and widespread corruption. You, by preventing her to marry him, will cause fitna in the land and widespread corruption. That's a side note for the guardians and the mothers and fathers. And we already see it. I don't know how many times in the 6.5 years living in this city, brothers came to marry sisters, and the guardians turned them away because the brother was a certain age. And that young lady, at least 7 times out of 10, ended up getting pregnant either by a 5% or somebody else. And we're going to talk about those people who do other things, like the brothers who abandoned their wives and the brothers who wronged those young sisters. We're going to talk about that inshallah also. We're not going to leave that out. And may Allah forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings. Amen. The second thing and final thing we're going to mention tonight and formulating an Islamic household is the education of your wife, especially when she doesn't have those good qualities. These are some of the things that the man should be presenting or encouraging or inciting his wife to do to develop an Islamic household. And of course, if he's inciting her to do this, he himself should be doing. Number one, Qiyamul Layl, standing up at night in tahajjud. It still amazes me how Muslims can be married for 5, 10, 15, 20 or more years, and they can count how many times they made the Hajj together as a couple. Those of us who are guilty, the hand in your heart, raise it. And this is, you should be guilty. How can you consider your home an Islamic household and you don't pray tahajjud with your wife? How can you consider it? How can you consider your house an Islamic house and you've been married 10 years and not one time, including Ramadan, you haven't prayed tahajjud with your wife? With your wife. Well, some people may say, well, akhi, you know, the sister doesn't want to get up. I try to get up. And her excuse, and maybe justified, that she's taking care of your babies, working all day in the house, and she's tired. But subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. If you really want to get the sweetness in this life, go get a little bottle of water. Sprinkle some water on your fingers. Because some people mistaken that hadith, they misunderstand the hadith, they take the whole istinja bottle, or the bucket, and they pour it on their wives, drenching her. No, it means take some water, after you get up, for yourself, you sprinkle it on her face, so that she can get up and make the hajj with you. And this goes for the brothers too, because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the women who get up and make the hajj, they should do this to their husbands. Making tahajjud, brothers and sisters, out of the forms of worship is one of the very first things that we have to do that are necessary to establish an Islamic household. These are the last ones, inshallah. Recitation of Quran. Learning how to read Quran. Reciting Quran. You should incite your wives to learn the book of Allah. When I was in Al-Medina, Just give me 3 minutes. 3 minutes, inshallah. When I was in Al-Medina, I met a brother named Ibrahim from South Africa. He's South African by ethnicity, but he lives in Toronto, Canada. I was amazed. This brother was a hafiz of Quran. And he memorized the entire Quran from his mother. That's not amazing, brothers and sisters. The amazing thing is that his mother was not a hafizah herself. This brother became a hafizah of Quran at the hands of his and his mother was not a hafizah herself, but she knew how to read well. Some of you sisters know how to read well. All you have to do is constantly go over the Quran with your children, and they'll memorize it. It's very easy. And we're going to go on in the classes to come on how you can practice doing that and the things that are the deterrent to that. And one of the deterrents to that, and I'm not ashamed to say it, I got rid of mine 2 years ago. You'll see miracles happen in your house if you get rid of yours. Get rid of your TV. Get rid of your TVs, brothers and sisters. I know it's difficult. Put yourself on a withdrawal program. Take yourself to TA. You know, you got AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Sex Anonymous. Take yourself to T Anonymous, Television Anonymous, and go on a withdrawal program. Look at it maybe 3 times a week. Maybe then 2 times a week. Maybe then 1 time a week. Until you can get rid of it altogether. I brought these statistics and then we're going to call the event. Listen to this. 65,000 sexual references broadcasted during prime time every year. The average American each hour watches 27 sexual references. Every hour on prime time, 9 kisses, 5 hugs, 10 sexual innuendos, and 2 sexual intercourses. That's not to mention, Shaitan comes into your house and the angels leave because of the pictures. Because anywhere there's pictures, the angels leave, and as a result of the angels leaving, Shaitan and his jinn love what the angels don't love. So now you got Shaitan. Instead of the TV, play Surah Al-Baqarah. Wallahi al-azim. And this one I have to say, wallahi al-azim. Get rid of the TV and you'll find yourselves memorizing so much Quran, it'll shock you. I got rid of the TV 2 years ago. Before my daughter reached 4 years of age, she knew 30 surahs of Quran. Before she reached four, she had memorized close to 30 surahs of the Quran. 30 at 3.5 years of age. And many of the dua that we want to learn right now, when I got rid of that TV. Brothers and sisters, try your best. Wean yourself from that monster. We're not talking, that's beside the point that the angel's not coming in your house. The crap that's on there, subhanAllah. So inshallah, we'll come back after salah for questions and answers. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وعلى اله واصحابه ومن استنى بسنته ومن والاه. If there's any questions, inshallah, we're going to, I think we should entertain them now so we can go home, inshallah. And once again, sisters, please forgive us. We're trying, you know, diligently to make the situation here more comfortable. Surely the yusra, inshallah, is going to come after the usra. The ease is going to come after the hardship. This is what Allah says in this Quran. We have to believe this, inshallah. So it's going to come, inshallah. If there's any questions, we'd like to take a few of them now and then allow everybody to go home. We don't want to tax them and burden them any more than what we're doing already. Naam.